breeze.
Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. It's 2016, and I thought I would do a new partial intro for this episode. This is an episode where my old intro talked about some issues we were having with Podomatic or something 5 years ago. We're not having those issues now that I know of. So I cut that section out. So it kind of starts in the middle of the podcast, but I think I do a pretty good job of describing Leo DeRocher and Ronald and Benita Coleman, who are the guests on this episode. It's nice having three different guests on the episode. And so I thought I would keep that in there. So all of a sudden, here in a minute, it's going to switch over to that intro. And the beginning of it's not going to make 100% sense. I talk about something about 5 years ago, and it just means that I was talking about an episode that happened earlier than this one. And just ignore that part, and it goes right, it'll go right into talking about Ronald and Benita Coleman and Leo DeRocher. Now, for tonight's episode, the other thing I found just today was a really nice collection of the Halls of Ivy. Halls of Ivy was a radio show that Ronald and Benita had become so popular on Jack's show that in 1950 they got their own show, which was called Halls of Ivy. And it was written by Don Quinn, who wrote most of the Fibber McGee and Molly shows. So he came over from Fibber McGee and Molly and started writing Halls of Ivy, which is pretty cool, and it's a great show. I've never had great quality episodes of it before, that sound quality-wise. I've had some, but not a lot. But this new set seems like it's got a lot of really high-quality episodes. So I thought tonight I would go ahead and attach the very first episode in high-quality sound of Ronald and Benita's show, Halls of Ivy, from January 6th, 1950. So right after this Jack Benny's episode is over, keep listening, and it'll go right into that episode, which is should be some fun. I want to thank all of you who've donated to the podcast, and I should have most of your links out to you by now. If you haven't received the links for whatever level you signed up for, of course, it's the level above that that I'm giving you the links for. Please email me, or if you think I sent you the wrong links or anything, email me at buckbennyotr@gmail.com. And people can still sign up to subscribe to helping donate to the podcast. Feel free to do that over at buckbenny.com. I'm not officially the fundraiser's over, but I'm going to keep on honoring giving you a level higher than you pay for, up until the end of Thanksgiving. I thought, what the heck, I'll run it through Thanksgiving because some folks might like to get access to these shows. And Halls of Ivy, that I just mentioned, I have added to my old-time radio archive section of the of my links. So those of you who have access to my audio links, besides just a podcast, can listen to these great this great set of Halls of Ivy that I just found. There's only 25 of them so far, but they're getting more and more of them released in high-quality sound, so they'll be available as well. Anyway, without further ado, here I'm going to jump back 5 years and talk about Leo DeRocher and Ronald and Benita Coleman, and then enjoy the shows. I have upgraded the sound on this show from the last time I played it, so you get an upgraded sound on both the Jack Benny Show and the Halls of Ivy, which is pretty nice. Enjoy them both, and we will see you all next time. But luckily, today, 5 years later, in Jack Benny time, we have another episode that has Leo DeRocher on it, so I can talk about Leo DeRocher. So let's move to talking about this episode. Leo DeRocher is on this episode today, and he is one of the great manager players of baseball, and in the early 40s, he was both, like I say, a manager and a player. He was very outspoken, somewhat controversial, but very well respected. And so he was featured on a lot of radio shows, certainly Fred Allen, I think Bob Hope, I think Bing Crosby at some point, certainly a few times on the Jack Benny Show. And then into television,
He was featured on The Munsters, an episode of The Munsters, an episode of Beverly Hills, not Beverly Hills, The Hillbillies, The Beverly Hillbillies, that's right. And then Mr. Ed as well. He was on an episode of Mr. Ed. So he was a very likable personality and one that would feature in lots of things. But besides that, he did some really important things while he was coaching. He was an inspiration to a lot of people and to a lot of players. He also helped open the door for Jackie Robinson to come in and start playing, which, of course, paved the way for African-Americans to be able to play baseball as a group. And what a wonderful thing that was, to be able to open the doors and say, no, baseball's for anybody. We want the best players, no matter what their color. Certainly, Leo DeRocher had some very colorful language about why they should let Jackie Robinson play, and he was instrumental in getting him a chance to play. So that's a very cool part of history that Leo DeRocher was part of. Now, and I always love him when he's on the Jack Benny show or Fred Allen show. So I hope you enjoy him in this episode today. The other people in this episode are the Colemans are on tonight. We had a few weeks ago the last Coleman episode from the 1951-52 season. It will be the last performance of them on the Jack Benny show ever, for the radio show anyway. They would make an appearance on the TV show. But bringing them on to the radio show was brilliant and worked out so well. I think it's interesting that in our 1941 season, if you've been listening, they were actually mentioned a few times. They never showed up until I think 45 or 46, but they were mentioned as his neighbors, and it was just kind of neat that they built this characterization of his neighbors, and then eventually actually had them on the show. And they lived, Jack mentions that they lived truly in real life, lived about a block away from where he is, his house is. But for the sake of the radio show, they had them be the next door neighbors. They brought wonderful things out of Jack and out of Rochester to give them depth to their personalities and make them more well-rounded, make the scenes at home instead of just at the studio seem more powerful and more, just give it more of a depth, more of a three-dimensionality. And then, of course, just for Jack and Rochester, they added such a definition to their characters. It's wonderful. So I hope you enjoy tonight's episode with the Colemans. Now, lastly, I said I was going to share about a bunch of interviews you can get. Let me take you back a little bit. About a year ago, I bought Chuck Shaden's book, Speaking of Radio. And Speaking of Radio is full of interviews that he's done over the years of all these wonderful old-time radio stars and writers and producers and the whole thing. It is great. But I said in a podcast when I got that book that, boy, I would have paid double or triple if you would have included a CD of these actual interviews, because I love to hear the folks talk in their own words and everything instead of having to read it in a book. But I also like reading the book, if that's the only way I can get it. Now, you're not going to get a CD or a DVD, and they didn't include one in the book or anything, but he did, about 6 months ago, start making his own website, the Speaking of Radio website. So if you go to speakingofradio.com, then you will be able to click where it says interviews, and he has all his interviews where you could, well, not all of them, he's uploading more and more all the time, but Chuck has a number of his interviews up there, and you can click on them and listen to them over the internet, and they sound wonderful. They're beautifully recorded, and they're the entire interview instead of the part that, you know, he might have had to cut them down for his book. So you can listen to the whole interview, and it's great. And some of the people up there, just some, are Jack Benny. He's got an interview with Jack, of course. He's got an interview with Don Wilson, Dennis Day, Phil Harris. He has an interview with the Jack Benny writers, George Balzer, and another one with Milt Josephsberg. He's got Irving Fine's interview, who Irving Fine has wrote one of the biographies on Jack Benny. He has interviews with one of the writers from Phil Harris's show. He's got, trying to remember his first name, but it's Mr. Singer. I think it's Ray Singer, Roy Singer. Anyway, he's got that, which I'm really excited to listen to. He has Elliot Lewis up there. He's got Alice Faye, an interview with Alice Faye. He has an interview with Edgar Bergen. And it just goes on and on and on and on. Tons and tons of interviews. So Sheldon Leonard, who plays the racetrack tout on the Jack Benny show, and who also plays Grogan on Phil Harris and Alice Faye's show. He has an interview with him. He's got just an unbelievable amount of interviews with these folks. Oh, Mel Blanc, Frank Nelson. So, wow. So they're fantastic. The downside is they'd be great to listen to. I'd love to listen to all you folks that commute. I'd love to listen to them in the car. But they do not, you can't download them. You can just listen to them. I'm sure some of you that are a little more tech savvy can figure out some way to actually record them and listen to them in your car. But anyway, go out there and enjoy those episodes. I will create a link on this podcast so that you can click and it'll take you right to the interview page. And I guess that's about it. And I will, over time, feature certain interviews that seem to tie into our episode, okay? For instance, if there was a Leo DeRocher one or a Coleman's one, I would probably link to that for this episode, but there's not. So those guys aren't there. So, but anyway, I will have some links that I'll do to episodes and things. So enjoy tonight's episode. Get out there and check out Chuck's site. Speaking of radio, it's an awesome website. And we shall see you next time.
The Jack Benny Program, presented by Lucky Strike.
Quality of product is essential to continuing success.
In a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts, and
LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
It takes fine tobacco to make a fine cigarette. And year after year, independent tobacco experts, auctioneers, buyers, and warehousemen can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco.
Fine, light, naturally mild tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And fine tobacco means real deep down smoking enjoyment for you.
So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed. So free and easy on the draw.
At 57, American.
Well, dear, it's 2:30. I guess I better get over to the studio.
All right. Goodbye, darling. And don't forget your script.
Oh, I won't.
Oh, by the way, Don, I meant to ask you, what happened at Jack Benny's house last Wednesday that caused so much commotion?
Oh, that. I thought you knew. Everybody's talking about it.
No, dear. Tell me what happened.
Well, as you know, it was last Wednesday. The evening started out quietly enough. In fact, Jack had just finished having dinner.
Ah, Rochester, that certainly was a good dinner.
Thanks, boss.
And that first dish you brought in, that was good. Did you make it yourself?
Oh, no, boss. Those were popovers from the bakery.
Oh. What was on the other dish?
Leftovers from Tuesday.
Wait a minute. I happen to know that last night we had lamb stew and spare ribs. And what I had tonight looked like a lamb chop.
I know, boss. I took the meat out of the stew, dried it in the sun, glued it to a rib, and put a patty on it.
Gee, you sure fooled me. And Rochester, what happened to the rest of the stew? You didn't throw it out, did you?
No, sir. You know those olives you had for lunch?
Yes.
Those were the green peas. I pumped them up.
Well, what do you know? And Rochester, that other dish, it tasted like squash. What was it yesterday?
Squash. I couldn't do a thing with it.
Oh. Well, Rochester, don't buy squash anymore. It's so inflexible. Well, I think I'll go in the library and relax a while. Hand me my slippers, will you, Rochester?
Here you are.
Thanks. What are you laughing at?
Yesterday, those were hip boots. I cut them down.
What are you going to do with the tops?
I'll think of something.
Yeah. Good. Now, Rochester, you better do the dishes, will you, please? I'm going to the library. On the boardwalk at Atlantic City, dum dum da dum dum. Gee, I wish they'd have bathing beauty contests for men. Nah, it's enough that I'm the star of stage, screen, and radio. Dum 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 da dum dum. I'll get it.
Hiya, Jackson.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello, fellas. I've been expecting you. Come on in.
Gee, rubber bedroom slippers.
Yeah.
Hey, we'd have been here earlier, Jackson, but we missed the first bus.
Oh, well, come on in. Say, Phil, did you come all the way over here on a bus like that?
Like what?
Look.
Well, how do you like that? I put on a glove that was holding a scotch and soda.
Well, come on, let's go in the library. Oh, say, Dennis, I'm surprised to see you here tonight. You know, I know your mother hates me.
Yeah.
I can't understand why your mother dislikes me so much. How can your family be so divided? Your father likes me, doesn't he?
No.
But Dennis, when you brought your father to the broadcast, he told me that he liked me. He said I was the most wonderful guy he ever met. He said that last Sunday.
Monday, they took him away.
That's a shame. I need him, too. Oh, hello, Polly. How do you like the way Daddy polished up your cage? Yes, sir.
Hiya, Polly. Why don't you get somebody to send you a cracker with a file in it so you can break out of that thing?
Phil, don't give her any ideas. Just say hello to her.
Hello, Polly.
Polly, Mr. Harris said hello to you. Say hello to Mr. Harris. Polly, say hello to Mr. Harris.
Hello.
Now, where'd she pick that up?
I said hello to her yesterday.
Oh. Now, Polly, say hello to Dennis. No, come on, Polly. Say hello, Dennis.
Hello, Dennis.
Hello, Polly.
Dennis! Dennis, stop imitating her. Say, fellas, you know, the evening's young yet. What do we do to kill a little time? How about a game of bridge?
Bridge?
Yeah, we'll get out the card table. Oh, gee, fellas, we can't play.
Why not?
Well, to play bridge, you have to have four hands.
I've only got two of them.
Dennis. I mean four people.
Oh.
Anyway, fellas, we'll think of one. I'll get it, Rochester. On the boardwalk at Atlantic City. Dum, 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 dum. Well.
Pardon my intrusion, Mr. Benny.
Well, Mr. Kitzel, what are you doing here?
Yesterday, when you had lunch at the drugstore, you left your hat on the counter.
Oh, yes, I did forget. How did you know it was my hat?
Well, when I looked on the band, I saw the initials J.B.
Oh.
But he said it wasn't his.
Who?
George Boynes.
No, Mr. Kitzel, George starts with a G.
He told me when he found out the hat was too small.
Well, it was nice of you to return it.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Kitzel, say, we need a fourth hand for bridge. I was wondering if you play the game.
Do I play bridge?
Good. What system do you use?
The best. Claudette Colbertson.
Well, then come on in.
All right.
Rochester, will you please bring in a card table and some cards?
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Rochester. All right, fellas, let's go.
One note trump.
Dennis, we haven't dealt the cards yet. Oh. He has to be my partner. Go ahead, Phil, you deal.
Okay.
Rochester, it's getting a little warm in here. Open the window, will you please?
Yes, sir.
Republicans are still celebrating. You better close it, Rochester.
Okay, Jackson, pick up your cards.
All right. Let me see. I bid two spades.
I pass.
Dennis, I bid two spades. What do you do?
Which ones are spades?
The black ones.
I've got two kinds of black ones.
Those are spades and clubs. Now, what do?
I pass.
Dennis, you can't pass. You're my partner.
Now that I've got my own show, I'm his partner yet.
I don't mean that. You're my partner in the game. I bid two spades. That's a forcing bid. I'm trying to find out what you've got in your hand.
I've got a seven of diamonds and nine of
hearts. Not that! Mr. Kitzel.
Yes?
Mr. Kitzel, look at his hand and help him.
Okay. Hoo-hoo-hoo!
What does he do?
He passes.
He can't pass. He's my partner.
All right. He beat seven spades.
Seven spades?
With a ten in the middle and the ace on top.
Oh, that's different. What do you do, Phil?
I open for $2.
Phil. Phil, look, Phil, this is bridge.
I don't care what it is. I got a full house, a straight, and a flush.
Now, don't be silly, Phil. That doesn't mean anything in bridge.
Oh.
Phil, where are you going?
I'm taking this hand over to the pool hall. It's worth a fortune over there.
Now, come back here and sit down. Now, where were we?
I pass.
Polly, you're not even playing.
Hello, Dennis.
Oh, quiet. Now, let's get back to the game. Phil, it's your bid.
Well, let's see,
And don't bend those cards. It's a new deck.
I just got a deck of cards for my birthday.
Did you, kid?
Boy, when I opened them up, was I disappointed.
Why?
On the box, it said bicycle.
That's the name of the cards, bicycle cards. Now, Phil...
I think it's misleading.
Phil, it's your...
I ought to sue him.
Dennis, you can't sue them. It says bicycle cards. That's what they are, bicycle cards. Now, Phil...
It would be hard to shuffle bicycles.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Phil, where are you going?
I'm going to phone Alice and thank her for not having any boys.
Well, I don't blame you. Now, let's get going. Rochester, will you answer that, please?
Yes, sir.
Phil, it's up to you now.
Mr. Benny's residence, star of stage and radio.
Rochester, star of screen, too.
I don't want to start any argument. Oh, it's for you, Mr. Benny. Palm Springs calling.
For me? Palm Springs? I wonder... Hello? Hello, Mary! Mary, why didn't you tell me you were going to Palm Springs? Where are you staying? At the Mission Inn? But the Mission Inn is in Riverside. It's in Palm Springs? Rain that hard. Well, don't feel bad, Mary. It's been raining here, too. Yeah. Water's so deep, the only one who's not afraid to go out is Gary Cooper. He passed my house and he was alone, I think. What? Oh, certainly, Mary. Sure, I'll be glad to. Have a nice rest. Goodbye, doll.
What did Mary want, Jackson?
She wanted me to send her some chis-sweet sandwiches. They haven't got them there, you know? Well, let's get on with the game.
Hey, Jackson, we got all balled up, so I dealt a new hand. I dealt for you.
Okay. Now, let's see. What a hand. I pass.
I pass.
I pass.
I bid 12 spades.
Phil, how could you get 12 spades?
I'd have had the other one, too, if you'd have stayed on that phone a little longer.
Give me those cards. I'll deal them myself.
Would you gentlemen like a cigarette?
Yeah, I'll have one. Say, Mr. Kitzel, I notice you're smoking Lucky Strikes.
You bet. Yes, sir. Why, sure. It's my favorite brand.
Good, good.
And I'm crazy about that auctioneer.
Mr. Kitzel, stop jigging.
Leave him alone, leave him alone. The back of me hand here, you spad peen, is a man after me own heart.
Get up! Come on, fellas, let's get on with the game. I made every trick that time, a grand slam.
Boss, the telegram just came for you.
For me? Did you give the boy a tip?
Yeah, you owe me a quarter.
A quarter? You mean to tell me you tipped him a quarter?
I knew this would happen, so I made him give me a receipt.
A receipt? Let me see it.
Here it is, boss.
Rochester, this is a carbon copy.
I sent the original to my lawyer.
What?
Hey, Jackson, why don't you just read the wire? Maybe it'll take your mind off of the two bits.
Oh, yes, yes. Dear Jack, arriving Los Angeles to spend week with you. Should be at your house Wednesday evening about 8. Signed, Leo DeRocher. Well, do you hear that, fellas? Leo DeRocher's going to spend a week with me, and he arrives Wednesday. Hey, that's tonight. You guys are really in for a treat.
No kidding. Hey, Jackson, is this the Leo DeRocher who manages the Brooklyn Dodgers?
That's him. You know, I spent most of my vacation traveling with his team.
My mother used to play with the Giants.
What?
She had to quit when I was born.
Dennis, please. And you know, fellas... Fellas... You know, but I love baseball so much. It was a thrill traveling with that team. I got to like every player. Gee, I hope I live to see the day when the Brooklyn Dodgers win the World Series.
You know, Jackson, at your age, that ain't a bad wish.
Well, I'd still like to...
Hey, wait a minute. Hey. What? If you're such a good friend of DeRocher, then why were you always rooting for St. Louis?
That was the St. Louis Browns in the American League. In the National League, I always rooted for the Dodgers. Oh, Rochester!
Yes, boss?
When Mr. DeRocher arrives, he'll probably be hungry, so you better fix him something to eat.
Okay.
What have you got in the refrigerator?
White enamel and ice cubes.
Rochester, I happen to know there's some hamburger in the freezing compartment. Now get it out and make some fresh coffee, too.
Yes, sir. Oh, by the way, we're all out of sugar.
No sugar. Well, Rochester, go over to the Ronald Coleman's next door and borrow some.
Okay, boss.
Oh, Benita, Benita.
Yes, Ronnie.
Who was that at the door?
It was Mr. Benny's butler, Manchester.
Well, what did Benny want this time?
Just a cup of sugar.
Never have I seen such a man. Borrow, borrow, borrow.
Oh, darling, don't let it upset you. He only borrows trivial things.
Trivial things?
Yes. Like yesterday, he was out working on his lawn, and he came over to borrow some oil for the lawnmower.
Well, did you let him have it?
I thought it best to. After all, it's our lawnmower.
That man. Just listen to the things he's gotten from us since the first of the month. One cup of sugar, one can of oil, one lawnmower, one mix master, two slices of bacon, two razor blades, three onions, one brown shoelace. One card table, two decks of cards, four bridge chairs, one Dr. Scholl's footpad, a monkey wrench, a screwdriver, one Band-Aid, small size. Two light bulbs and I know I've forgotten several things. It's too difficult memorizing every item.
Oh, why don't you write them down?
He's got my fountain pen, too. My new fountain pen, the one I just received from England.
Oh, Ronnie, you mean the one that writes under tea?
Yes. Yes, that's the one. Now, let me see. What else did he borrow?
Oh, well, let it go. It's not important.
Oh, yes, it is. I want to remember them. Now, let's see. There was an umbrella, a half pound of coffee, the comic section from the Sunday Times. I never did find out whether or not Dick Tracy knocked off goggles.
Don't worry about it. I'll call C. Aubrey Smith. He'll tell us what happened.
Good, good. Oh, and another thing Benny borrowed. Just the other night, three Tootsie Rolls.
Well, he didn't borrow them.
Nita, I distinctly saw you give him those Tootsie Rolls.
I know, but it was Halloween, and he knocked on the door and said, trick or treat.
Yes, imagine him rolling up his pants legs and knocking on our door and saying, please give me some candy, some cake, or some pie, and if you don't do it, I'll spit in your eye. Yes, and then he curtsied and his toupee fell off.
Would you like to go to a movie tonight?
Oh, I don't know. What's playing?
I'll look in the paper and see. As The Jolson Story, Margie, Nobody Lives Forever, Dark Mirror, An Undercurrent. That's about all that's showing at the first-run theaters.
Well, check the neighborhood theaters. Last Horizon must be playing somewhere.
How many more times do we have to sit through? Oh, I'll get it. Oh, hello.
I'm sorry to bother you again, Miss Coleman.
It's quite all right. Well, what is it, Manchester?
Well, Mr. Benny wants to serve baked potatoes tonight, and he's all out of potatoes. We'll need four if you can spare them.
All right, I'll get them for you.
And Mr. Benny says he'll only need a half pound of butter this time.
All right, just wait here.
Dorchester.
Yes, Mr. Coleman?
I'm quite curious about something. Is ours the only house in the neighborhood that Mr. Benny borrows from?
Oh, no, sir. You know the people who live in that big house on the corner? The one with the birdhouse in the front lawn?
Yes.
Well, we owe the birds a half dozen eggs.
Well, tell me, as you know, Mr. Benny has borrowed so many things. Do you think he ever intends repaying us?
Oh, I'm quite sure he does. You're mentioned in his will.
Mentioned in his will?
Yeah, you come right after the birds.
Ah, that's life for you. One day the star of Lost Horizon, the next day second billing to a sparrow. You know, I think that...
There you are, Manchester. I've got everything for you. Four potatoes, half a pound of butter, and four napkins.
But I didn't ask for any napkins.
I know. I thought I'd save you another trip.
Well, thank you very much, Mrs. Coleman. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, how long is Benny going to keep this up? When is it going to stop? I'm asking you, when is this going to stop? That's all I want to know. That's all I want to know! Well, I'm going to find some way to... Well, I'll get it this time. Yes?
Pardon me, does Jack Benny live here? I'm Leo DeRocher.
Mr. Benny lives next door, the house on the left. Good night.
Oh, thanks. I'll say... Say, haven't I seen you someplace before? I know the movies. You're Ronald Coleman, aren't you?
Yes, yes. Mr. Benny's house is that one right over there. Good night.
Gosh, you're wonderful in the movies. I loved you in Lost Horizon.
Mr. Benny's house... You did? Well... come in! Come in! I want you to meet my wife.
Thank you.
Oh, Benita... Benita, come here. I want you to meet someone who loved me in... I want you to meet a friend of mine.
Oh, yes, darling. Who is it?
I'd like you to meet Mr. Leo DeRocher.
You don't mean Lippy.
Lippy?
Yes, that's my nickname.
Well, then you two have met before.
Oh, no. But I've read about him in the papers. I think it was in connection with the last election. He was elected mayor of Brooklyn or something.
No, Mrs. Coleman. I manage the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Brooklyn Dodgers?
Yeah, them bums. You know who them bums are, don't you?
Well, we should. We live next door to one.
Ronnie.
Anyway, Benita, the Brooklyn Dodgers is a baseball team.
Thanks.
So that explains why you're visiting Mr. Benny. He's an important man in baseball, too.
Benny, an important man in baseball?
He must be. He kept Greenberg on third for 2 years.
Oh, no, that's just a gag. Anyway, my visit to Benny is strictly a social one. He's one of my best friends.
Oh, so you're the guest they're expecting for dinner.
I sure am.
Look, would you do us a favor, please? When they pass the butter, take it easy. It's ours.
I'll do my best, Mr. Coleman. You know, I haven't seen Benny since the baseball season ended in September. And I was wondering...
Excuse me for interrupting, Leo, but I just noticed you belong to the Elks, don't you?
The Elks?
Yes, those Elks' teeth hanging on your watch chain.
No. These are umpires' teeth.
Umpires? Oh, are umpires animals?
In Brooklyn, yes.
Oh, Benita, he's only joking. An umpire is an official in a baseball game. He makes the decisions and even has the power to remove a player from the game and send him to the showers.
My, how sanitary.
Well, I better be running along. I'm kind of anxious to see Jack again.
Before you go, Leo, I want to tell you that I felt badly when your team failed to win the pennant.
Oh, well, that's baseball. You just can't figure it. One day you're great and the next day you stink. Oh, pardon me, Mrs. Fuller.
Quite all right. Mr. Coleman's pictures weren't all great either.
Well, anyway, I brought my team in second, and it's great to know that we still have thousands and thousands of loyal fans.
Ah, you certainly have, Leo.
Well, I better be running along. I know Benny's waiting for me.
You know, it's rather strange. If you and Benny are such great friends, then why was he so anxious for St. Louis to win the pennant?
St. Louis?
Yes. I remember he used to sit by the radio and cheer every time St. Louis got a hit.
What? Let me get this straight. Did I hear you say that Benny was rooting for St. Louis?
Yes, that's right.
You're sure there isn't some mistake?
No. You heard him, didn't you, Benita?
Yes.
Well, I better run along. It was nice meeting you folks.
Good night, Leo.
Leo, why did you do that?
A fine pal you are, rooting for St. Louis.
St. Louis? But, Leo, that was the St. Louis Browns in the American League.
Oh, I'm so sorry, pal. Here, let me help you up.
Oh, thanks. Hey, you know what, Leo? You almost had another tooth for your chain.
Ladies and gentlemen, the majority of American hospitals now have patients waiting to be admitted. And the situation in many areas is growing steadily worse because of insufficient nursing personnel. All young women between the ages of 17 and 35 who are high school or college graduates are urged to apply for admission in any one of the 1,300 accredited schools of nursing. Apply to the one nearest you. Thank you. Jack will be back in just a minute, but first here is my good friend, Mr. F.E. Boone.
At 57, American.
Let the chant of the tobacco auctioneer remind you that year in, year out, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And in a cigarette, it's the tobacco that counts.
Independent tobacco experts, auctioneers, buyers, and warehousemen really know tobacco. Mr. William D. Whitley of Henderson, North Carolina, has been an independent tobacco auctioneer for 18 years, and he said,
I speak as an eyewitness when I say that season after season, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy fine, ripe tobacco, that good, fragrant tobacco that makes a fine smoke. I've smoked Lucky's myself for 13 years.
Quote, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy fine, ripe tobacco, unquote. Yes, at market after market, independent tobacco experts like Mr. Whitley can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco.
Fine, light, naturally mild tobacco. Yes, Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, and fine tobacco means real deep-down smoking enjoyment for you.
Remember, L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
That's what happened last Wednesday night.
Yes, dear.
Well, I'm glad that Mr. Benny and Mr. DeRosier made up.
So am I. And you'd never know Jack had a black eye.
Well, how'd he get rid of it so fast?
He sent Leo over to the Coleman's to borrow a steak for it.
Oh. What do you know? Well, you better run along now, dear. You'll be late for rehearsal.
Goodbye, darling.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Good evening. This is Ken Carpenter saying welcome to the world premiere of the new Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman show, The Halls of Ivy, sponsored by the Joseph Schlitz Brewing Company, brewers of Schlitz, the beer that made Milwaukee famous. And now, the Halls of Ivy.
The halls of ivy that surround us here today, and we will not forget the
Welcome to Ivy, the town of Ivy and Ivy College. Ivy College is coeducational and non-sectarian, and its age is indicated by the fact that until recently the curriculum required 2 years of Greek. Ivy is all American. Its student body is a pretty fair cross-section of our country's youthful seekers of knowledge. Dr. William Todd Hunter Hall, Ph.D., LL.D., and M.A., is president of Ivy. At least until the end of the month. His reappointment is under discussion now by the Board of Governors, now meeting in the east wing of the library.
I have to catch the 4 o'clock train back to town.
We used to get a $20 gold piece.
I hope you can make it for the weekend.
Gentlemen,
I said they really do.
Gentlemen, we have one more item of business on our agenda, and an important one. It concerns the reappointment of Dr. Hall as president.
Hardly a matter for controversy.
He's made a fine president.
It shouldn't take long.
Gentlemen,
of course not.
It seems to me, as chairman of this board, that Dr. Hall's record is so eminently satisfactory that there can be no serious obstacle in the way of his confirmation. His 6 years of service has... Mr. Wellman?
Yes. What about Mrs. Hall?
Mrs. Hall is the nicest woman on the campus.
Have you anything else to worry about?
He's
an inspiration to everybody.
Gentlemen. What about Mrs. Hall, Mr. Wellman?
Well, I've nothing against the lady personally, but it seems to me that I mean, this is hearsay, of course, and I don't ordinarily pay much attention to student gossip.
Will you please get to the point, Mr. Wellman, if there is one?
There is one. To put it bluntly, There is some doubt in my mind whether a man whose wife is an ex-actress and a musical comedy actress at that is the right woman. I mean, if he is the right man to be president of a college like Ivy with a conservative tradition.
It's the tradition of this college to have an
asset.
Don't you do your talking. That's what we have.
Conservative.
Gentlemen, please. Mr. Wellman has raised a point which, however seriously it should be taken, does have a bearing on Dr. Hall's reappointment. My personal feeling, for your information, is that Mrs. Hall's charm and sympathy for and with the younger element is a definite advantage to Dr. Hall's work. This is one opinion. You may hold contrary ones. But I should like to confine the discussion to a period of 1/2 hour. At that time, we will vote for or against reappointment. Mr. Merriweather?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not an Ivy alumnus. I just happen to be a filthy, rich, old man who's dropped some fairly large sums of money on your campus.
Wait a minute, Merriweather. The dignity of this college...
Oh, gentlemen.
Dignity, my foot.
Gentlemen, gentlemen. If you please, gentlemen. Order, please. May I remind you that appointing a president of this college is a serious matter, and any pertinent discussion should also be serious. The question of Dr. Hall's fitness and the character of his family...
Toddy, dear, must you pace back and forth like that, like a hyena in the zoo?
A hyena? That's a rather rude comparison, Victoria. A hyena is a nasty animal. If we must be zoological, let me be something a little more noble. A tiger.
A lion. That's what you are, the king of the beasts.
Well, thank you.
And like a lion, you must be brave, dear. And
my dear woman, bravery in a college president... even in a former college president.
Oh, don't say that.
Oh, it could happen. But as I was saying, bravery in a college president is a superfluous virtue, and practically the only virtue not absolutely required. If the governors of this college... what do you suppose they're doing at their wretched board meeting, playing Parcheesi?
Temper, Toddy, temper. Successful college presidents never lose their tempers.
I know. And will you please... try not to call me Toddy, even in these sacred precincts. Someday you'll use it in front of some eager young beaver in the School of Journalism, and 3 weeks later they'll find me at my desk with a hole in my head and a smoking pistol in my hand.
Well, I'll try, dear. I know what the cheerleaders would do with it, too. Tell me, how do they notify you that you are to be booked for another term?
Booked is hardly the word, Victoria. I am not a juggling act.
Well, we all have our professional phrases, dear. Sometimes...
Well, here it is. Te morituris salutami.
What does that mean?
It means, here's mud in your eye from we who are about to be reappointed or not. Latin.
Well, let's get it over with. I'll let them in. You be busily reading your fan mail or something.
Hello, Mrs. Hall. Gee, I'm glad you're home. Can you give me a few minutes?
Well, frankly, Pushy, it is rather an awkward time. But what's the trouble?
Oh, it's that waltz clog I'm doing in the Junior Follies. I can't seem to remember it. Would you brush me up a little?
Ask them in, Victoria.
Yes, dear. Come in, Pushy. It's Pushy Morgan.
Gee, I'm sorry to bother you all the time, Mrs. Hall. But the way you explain things are clear as crystal. And when I get up at rehearsal, Oh, hello, Dr. Hall.
Hello, Morgan. Did you bring a message from the Board of Governors?
No, sir, I don't.
No, I've been trying to teach him a dance for the Junior Follies, William. A waltz clog. He wants to brush up a bit.
Really? Now?
Yes, sir.
Well, pull that rug aside, Pushy, while I put a record on. What were we using?
The Sidewalks of New York, remember?
Oh. Am I in the way?
Oh, certainly not, dear. Just stand over there by the piano. Pushy has an unfortunate habit of flinging his feet sideways. It makes for a very loose line in the chorus. Now, watch. See? Don't toss yourself about too much. Contain yourself. Economical movements. Move the shoulders as little as possible. Now try it.
Gee, it sure looks easy when you do it. Okay.
Oh, no. Hold it. Hold it, Pushy. Stop the music, will you please, William?
Gladly. And may I say, Morgan, I don't think you do too badly.
Well, thank you, sir. Oh, I know I'm no Fred Astaire, but Mrs. Hall is a wonderful teacher. What was I doing wrong, Mrs. Hall?
Well, your balance is all wrong, Pushy. Oh? Watch how I shift my weight. See? Now, here's what you're doing.
Oh, I think I see what you mean. Look, more like this, huh?
Now you're getting it. You just practice and practice and practice. Try to think of your upper body and arms wrapped up like a mummy. Be tight.
Oh, I get it. I think I know now. Oh, thanks, Mrs. Hall. This is going to be the best show we ever had, Doctor.
I'm looking forward to seeing it, Morgan. Are you one of the leads?
He is the lead, William. He sings even better than he dances.
Oh, I'd better. This whole thing scares me to death. When I think of opening night and me doing the waltz clog in front of all those people, gee, I'd almost rather be back in Okinawa. Almost, that is.
Okinawa? Were you...
Yes, he was, dear. Now, you keep practicing, Pushy, and we'll get to work on that third act scenery day after tomorrow.
Okay, and thanks a lot, Mrs. Hall. With you helping us, this thing is really in the bag. Bye, Doctor.
A good day, Morgan. Remember, wrapped up like a mummy.
I'm sorry I interrupted your question, Toddy, but Pushy doesn't talk much about his war experience. He has the Medal of Honor, Purple Heart, Silver Star, and a few other things, you know.
No, I didn't know. I'm glad to hear about it. I'm inclined to lose sight of the fact that these are not all youngsters under my care. When I... Oh, here, let me help.
Pull the rug over a bit, will you, dear?
Over here?
Mm-hmm, a bit more. There. That's it. Now, what were you saying?
What was I... Oh, yes, this reappointment.
You do want to be reappointed, don't you, Toddy? I mean, William.
Yes, I do. And largely on account of boys like Pushy Morgan. When I address the student body or any part of it, I can see how the world has moved since I went to college myself. In my day, we went to college for fun and to fill in a few years between high school and making a living. Some of these young old men have already lived more than I ever will. And even the inevitable few who are here to avoid work are affected in spite of themselves by the veterans and the ones who are playing for keeps. Yeah, that's why I like my job more than I ever did. And that's why I wish those... What time is it?
It's 3:37. How did you say you'd be notified?
Well, I've only been reappointed once, you know, so the procedure is not exactly traditional. On that occasion, I was notified in person by two members of the board. Meriwether, whom I like and admire, and Mr. Wellman, who is, in my considered opinion, a stinker.
Is there any doubt in your mind that you will be reappointed?
I'd be an idiot to take it for granted. Reappointment means a salary increase.
Oh, Charlie, how wonderful.
Yes, and a salary increase naturally brings out the watchdog instincts of the conservative members.
You mean that some of them would actually fire their president just to save a few miserable dollars?
Vicky, I love you very deeply, but you are shamefully ignorant of some of life's basic facts.
I know, dear, but...
The Board of Governors is made up largely of wealthy men, retired industrialists, philanthropists. Dissimilar as they are, they have one trait in common. None of them sees anything miserable about a dollar. Furthermore...
Telephone, dear. Toddy, aren't you going to answer it?
Let it ring.
But, darling, the governors...
The governors are hard to take. Let me play hard to get.
I was curious. I tasted it. Now I know why Schlitz is the beer that made Milwaukee famous.
In just a moment, we'll return to the Halls of Ivy, starring Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman. There's just time now for you to hear how one man learned something very interesting. Here are his own words.
Well, my story is about a neighbor who isn't a neighbor, and a front porch that's really a penthouse, and how I first came to taste Schlitz beer. You see, every night I sit out on my terrace and watch the stars blink, just like I used to from my front porch back home. But it isn't the same because although my next-door neighbor sits on his terrace just 3 feet in a flower box away, we never speak. I know that he lounges in an old tweed jacket and has a hard time keeping his pipe lit and turns to the sports page first, and I don't even know his name. Yet I owe him a great deal of pleasure. You see, every night I used to watch him come out with a huge sandwich and a bottle of beer. And every time he sipped that beer, there was always the same expression on his face. Complete satisfaction. So I made a point of looking at the label every time, and it was always Schlitz. Well, I couldn't help wondering what there was about a beer to make a man look so pleased every time he tasted it. I bought some Schlitz, and I found out all right. Now we sit there just 3 feet away, both with our bottles of Schlitz, both with that same pleased look on our faces. No wonder they call Schlitz the beer that made Milwaukee famous.
That surround us here today.
As we rejoin the halls of Ivy, where... Pardon me, the phone's ringing.
There's the telephone again, William. That's the third call. I think you've taught them a lesson.
Oh, very well. Dr. Hall's residence. Oh, yes. Yes. Bad news, you say. Well, frankly, I rather expected it. Well, thank you for calling. Yes, as soon as I can. Goodbye.
I'm sorry, dear.
Well, it can't be helped. I suppose I was lucky to get the one I really wanted.
The one? What do you mean? What did they say?
Well, they said they just got the copy of Wiener's book on cybernetics I ordered. Two of the others I wanted are out of print.
The Board of Governors said that?
No. The campus bookshop. Remind me to pick... Oh, Vicky, you thought...
Yes, I thought they'd let you go. You know, it wouldn't be so terrible, would it? We could take a nice, long vacation.
Could you use another adjective? Or such as brief, or enjoyable, or the usual well-earned?
Oh, you wouldn't be out of work very long, darling. You're a good college president. You're the best college president I know.
Thank you. But I'm afraid your limited experience... Was that the phone?
Was what the phone, dear?
I thought I heard the phone. Oh. What time is it?
It's 4:04.
Get your coat and let's go for a walk.
But, Toddy, William, what if the Board of Governors... I mean, if they should call while we're out...
Let them find me. One of the janitors on Fraternity Row has a bloodhound. They can track me down.
We can't do it, William. We can't meet rudeness with rudeness.
No, you're right, as usual. My father used to say that the real test of manners was being able to meet bad ones with good ones. But what the devil do they find to discuss all the afternoon? I'll bet Wellman has something to do with this.
Mr. Wellman, the stinker.
Mr. Wellman, the revolving stinker. He's a stinker any way you look at it.
Just exactly. What does the fragrant Mr. Wellman do for a living?
Well, my personal opinion is that he waylays little children on their way to the candy store and steals their pennies. But according to various other sources of information, he is a soup magnet.
Soup?
Soup. I suspect that his grandmother was a witch and invented a broth which became a family recipe. I'm afraid to eat any. Might turn into a frog. And I can't swim.
Don't be bitter, dear. After all, you don't have to have this job.
No, we could hitchhike out to California and pick fruit. Follow the harvest. Do ladders make you nervous?
No, not a bit. Do you remember Lulu's mad moment? Oh, no, of course you don't, dear. It just played for 3 nights and, oh, gold is green, I think. But I was Lulu, and I spent most of the second act on a ladder singing interminable choruses of All Old Art and Helping Hand.
Sounds like a resounding success.
And it was a dismal mistake. The critics, however...
Well, It's about time. Now, shall I accept the reappointment, or shall we pick apricots?
Oh, just play hard to get for 10 or 15 seconds, dear, and then give in gracefully.
And Dr. Hall's residence? Yes? Oh. Well, that's quite all right. Not at all. Goodbye. Wrong number. What time is it?
A few minutes after four. And stop pacing, Toddy. Remember, I don't mind ladders.
Very well. Lulu. May I call you Lulu?
It would be a little presumptuous. You never saw me as Lulu, which you may count among your blessings.
I saw you as Mary and Give Them Tears in London. That's all any man could ask.
Give Them Tears. Oh, I'd love to play it again. It was a lovely play, wasn't it, darling?
If you do it again, I'd like to play the vicar. I could do it, you know. I saw it 27 times.
And you bought your own tickets on a professor's salary.
My sabbatical year turned out to be a theatrical 5 months. You were very kind to the visiting American, Vicky.
The visiting American was very refreshing, Toddy. It was fun. Teaching you how many shillings in a pound, how to eat fish and chips, a Lambeth walk.
Had you noticed me in the audience, ever? I mean, before...
Oh, my dear. I saw you every time after the first one. And then, the night my maid told me there was a gentleman...
Miss, there's a Mr. All wants to see you. A Yank by the looks of him.
What does he want, Penny?
I don't know, he didn't say, but he's a pleasant-spoken man and nice-looking. None of the ordinary runner backstages.
Oh, I'll see him.
Yes, miss.
Miss Cromwell, I realize this is perhaps an imposition, but I'm leaving for the United States in a few days, and I felt I must tell you something.
Yes, Mr. Hall. Or is it Professor Hall?
Oh, no.
Or Dr. Hall?
No, it doesn't matter. What does matter is that I am not ordinarily much of a theatergoer, but I have seen you in this very beautiful play 26 times. And I'd feel that I had been lacking in simple courtesy had I not told you in person how much genuine pleasure you have given me. The hours I have spent watching you will be a memory which I shall treasure the rest of my somewhat dull life. I am most grateful.
Oh, Mr. Hall, I this is really... Penny, go away.
Oh, yes, miss.
Please sit down, Mr. Hall. Oh,
thank you, but... I've been told this is a rather inconvenient time to visit backstage. My ignorance of theatrical procedure...
Your ignorance of the rules, Mr. Hall, is rather refreshing. And you don't want an autographed photo... or endorsement of some brand of petrol, or to discuss a tentative new motion picture over a late supper.
No, none of these things. No, I merely wish to say thank you. I might also say that dressing room views of one's favorite actress are popularly supposed to be disillusioning. I'm always glad to help kick a superstition in the head.
Oh, well, I'm glad I'm your favorite actress, Mr. Hall. You're becoming my favorite audience. Tell me... why did you wait so long to come and tell me all these nice things?
Well, frankly, I hadn't the courage. Until tonight. And the thought of going home without hearing you speak to me in person was simply intolerable. So, thank you once more.
Don't go, Mr. Hall. Sit down again. I want to talk to you some more. Why, anyone who thinks as highly of me as you do and says so... so beautifully. It's to me a very stimulating conversationalist.
Miss Cromwell, I wouldn't have mentioned this, but inasmuch as you have introduced the subject...
How would you like it inscribed, Mr. Hall?
Oh, just say something like, with kindest regards to... Well, how did you know what I meant?
I think because I wanted you to want a picture of me.
Oh, good heavens, I'm sorry. I've overstayed. What was that? Curtain time? Overture?
Darling, it's the doorbell.
What? What? I didn't...
Toddy, darling, it's the doorbell. Answer the doorbell.
Oh, the doorbell. Yes.
William, you were wool gathering.
Yes, I guess I was. And doesn't wool make a lovely comforter?
Why? What on earth are you talking about?
No, it doesn't matter, darling. No, no, excuse me. I'll see who's at the door.
Good evening, Dr. Hall.
Ah, Mr. Merriweather. Mr. Wellman.
How do you do, Dr. Hall?
We were just debating about taking a walk. Another 10 minutes and we'd probably have been gone. Victoria, I think you know Mr. Merriweather.
Yes, indeed, I do. Good afternoon, Mr. Merriweather.
Mrs. Hall, I'm glad to see you. In fact, I'm all...
Excuse me, Mr. Merriweather, but I'm afraid Mrs. Hall hasn't met Mr. Wellman. Victoria, may I introduce Mr. Clarence Wellman?
How do you do, Mr. Wellman?
Mrs. Hall, we haven't met before, formally. But I remember you from 1934, I think. In England, Golders Green, in Lulu's Mad Moment.
Was that the one where I played the witch brewing a wicked broth which turned men into frogs?
No, dear, no. Lulu's Mad Moment was where you spent most of the second act on a ladder, remember?
That was it, the ladder. I'll have to admit, Mrs. Hall, that you were interesting. But that play, how long did it run?
Run, Mr. Wellman, is much too vigorous a word. It tottered for 3 days and fell down dead. Did you have the fortune, good or bad, to see Lulu's Mad Moment, Mr. Merriweather?
No, I didn't, Mrs. Hall. But I saw Give Them Tears 5 times in New York. Gad, ma'am, if I'd been a couple of 100 years younger and hadn't had a wife who understood me, you'd have found me at the stage door every night with a bunch of emeralds in my hot little hand.
I don't like to intrude on your memoirs, gentlemen, but could I serve you any refreshments?
You mean tea, Dr. Hall?
No, Mr. Wellman, I didn't mean tea. Although tea is available if you care for it this late in the afternoon.
Personally, I'm a temperance man, Doctor.
I am seldom seen reeling across the campus myself, Mr. Wellman. may I get you something, Vicky?
No, thank you, William.
Apologies for keeping you waiting, Doctor.
Waiting for what, Mr. Merriweather?
Waiting for what? Don't you realize today is the deadline for your reappointment as president of Ivy, Dr. Hall?
Good gracious, so it is. William, did you hear?
Yes, I did.
Well, I knew you weren't the type to stew around about it, Hall. Right temperament for president of Ivy, always said so. Well, Clarence, you're the committee. Tell the man.
Dr. Hall, I have been requested by the Board of Governors to inform you of your reappointment as president of Ivy College for a further term of 5 years.
With more money, too, so you...
I'm the committee of one.
Go ahead and commit. Stop stalling around.
For a further term of 5 years, Doctor, with an increase in stipend of $2,500.
Thank you, Mr. Wellman.
Does this mean, William, that we can't go to California?
I'm afraid so, dear. But possibly on our vacation, we can pick an orange. Must you go, gentlemen?
Yes, got to get home, Doctor. Come on, Clarence. Night, Doctor, and congratulations to you and to the college.
Thank you, thank you.
Night, Mrs. Hall.
Good night.
And thanks for being so kind and patient with my nephew.
Your nephew?
Pushy Morgan.
Oh.
Stumblebum. Yeah, you've taught him how to know his left foot from his right. He's crazy about you.
Oh.
So am I. Come on, Wellman. What are you stalling around for?
Good night, Doctor. Good night, Mrs. Hall.
Good night. Good night. Congratulations, Doctor.
Thank you, Lulu. You may come down from the ladder now. Oh, what an afternoon. I promise you I won't go through that again.
Won't you, Toddy? 5 years isn't so long.
Next time I'll be ready for them. I'll be equipped to laugh at them, if you'll help me.
Well, of course, dear.
Vicky, teach me that waltz clog. I think I might have a flair for that sort of thing. Now watch, isn't it this the way?
No. Look, Toddy, like this.
Thank you. Mr. and Mrs. Coleman will be back in a moment.
I was curious. I tasted it. Now I know why Schlitz is the beer that made Milwaukee famous.
And here again are Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman.
Thank you. Good night, everyone. Good night.
We'll be seeing you next week at this time at the Halls of Ivy, starring Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman. The other players were Herbert Rawlinson, Herbert Butterfield, Willard Waterman, Gloria Gordon, and Lee Millar. The Halls of Ivy was created by Don Quinn, directed by Nat Wolf, and presented by the Joseph Schlitz Brewing Company of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Ken Carpenter speaking.
Oh, we love the Halls of Ivy that surround us here today, and we will not forget, though we be far.
Next, hear We the People over most of these same NBC stations.
Hello again, this is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to our second episode featuring Buck Benny Rides Again. This time maybe we'll get a little more skid in than last time. There wasn't much Buck Benny going on in the last episode, a little bit, but kind of interrupted by mass mayhem on the show, and of course, which is often the case with the Jack Benny Show. Tonight's is a little fun because Ben Blue is back, and he'll have some fun with Jack and the gang. I went over who Ben Blue was a few weeks ago on the podcast, so I won't go too deep into that other than to say that he was a fantastic comedian, and also he was one of the comedians, of course, featured in It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, but of course all comedians were kind of featured in that, and he used to have his own place where folks would go and have comedians perform and things. His own kind of dinner club place. What else about this episode? Oh, it's going to be our Thanksgiving episode, or at least have some mention of Thanksgiving for the 1936-37 season, because next week we'll be blowing past that. And so I hope you all enjoy your Thanksgiving and enjoy celebrating it with Buck Benny. We'll see you next time.
J-E-L-L-O.
The Jell-O program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston and Phil Harris and his orchestra. The orchestra opens the program with Plenty of Money and You from the Gold Diggers of 1937. There's a grand friendly feeling about these late autumn days, a feeling of joy and gratitude. The spirit of Thanksgiving. The big day we've all been anticipating is almost here at last. And you will probably be so busy from now on planning your family celebration that until Thursday you'll want to serve simple, easily prepared meals. And there isn't anything easier to make or more enjoyable to eat than Jell-O. Of course, Jell-O can be dressed up to be just as fancy as you please, but it's still delicious, still wonderfully satisfying and refreshing when it's served perfectly plain. Because no matter how you serve Jell-O, that extra rich flavor is always there, a flavor that comes from fresh, ripe fruit. No other gelatin dessert can equal Jell-O's extra rich flavor. So always remember that there is only one Jell-O. Get the real thing. Insist on genuine Jell-O. Ladies and gentlemen, we bring to you your friend, my friend, and Jack Benny's friend, Jack Benny.
Hello again, this is Jack's pal talking. Don, I wouldn't care how you introduce me tonight. You can kid me all you want to. I feel too good, full of pep and everything.
Oh, you do?
Yes, sir.
Well, tell me, Jack, what's the cause of your exhilaration and sparkling effervescence?
Well, What was that, Don?
I say, what's the cause of your exhilaration and sparkling effervescence?
I don't...
Well, what motivates this sudden display of exuberance?
Well,
In other words, Jack, what makes you so gay?
Oh, I was hoping we'd get together. Well, Don, you know how tired I've been the last couple of weeks, so I went down to Palm Springs for a rest, and it did me a lot of good. You know, that desert sun is a real tonic.
Well, I must say, you look greatly improved. Why, even the circles under your eyes are tan.
They do look better, don't they, Don?
Where did you stop in Palm Springs, Jack?
Well, I didn't know where to go. You know, there are so many swanky hotels. There's the Colonial House, a beautiful spot, and the Desert Inn, and the El Mirador, very exclusive. So I finally decided on the El Mirador.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I parked my trailer right on their front lawn.
Why, Jack, you can't park a trailer in front of a high-class hotel like that.
Not for any length of time. I found that out. Didn't even know she was coming.
Well, Jack, while you...
No, I met Mary down there. I didn't even know she was coming.
Well, Jack, while you were there, did you go in for a lot of outdoor sports?
Yes, Don. I was quite active. I used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and watch everybody take a cold plunge. Then a little later, I'd go out to the golf course and watch a few rounds of golf. Then in the afternoon, I'd watch them ride horseback through the hills.
Did you watch anyone play tennis?
No, Don, that would have been a little too strenuous. You know, lazy is the word for Jackie.
And hello is the word for Mary. Hello, Jack.
Oh, hello, Mary. Did you have a good time at Palm Springs?
Did I? Gee, that's a swell place.
Where did you live there, Mary?
At the El Mirador Hotel. And what scenery. I had a beautiful room facing Jack's trailer.
Oh, did that annoy you?
Only when you stuck your head out.
Well, I had to get a little sun.
Jack tells me that he had trouble keeping his trailer in front of the hotel, Mary.
Oh, they didn't object to that so much.
Of course not.
But they got pretty sore when he hung his wash in the lobby.
Well, I just wanted to be neighborly, that's all.
Jack, do you think you'll go back to Palm Springs next week?
No, Don, I want to be here for Thanksgiving. You see, I bought a great big fat turkey. Nothing personal, of course. And I,
How do you like that? Stick to the script.
I bought a big fat turkey, and I want to be right here to eat it.
Oh, a big fat turkey. Well, did you get any trimmings?
No, I made a good deal. I'm pretty sharp at those things.
Say, Jack, is next Thursday Thanksgiving?
Yes, Mary, why?
Oh, Thanksgiving.
Now, wait a minute. Wait, I thought you weren't going to write any poems this season.
Oh, just this one.
No, we've had enough of them.
Oh, Jack, let her do it.
No. All right, folks, you made your applause. Now lie in it. Go ahead, Mary.
No, now you'll have to coax me.
Well,
Oh, Thanksgiving. Oh, Thanksgiving. You are sure my favorite day. How I love your festive spirit. Gosh, gee whiz. Oh, boy, I'll say.
Well, you asked for it.
Thanksgiving, you are sure a treat. How we love to eat and eat. Cause for dinner, we're sure there is turkey stuffing and cranberries.
I knew it.
Mary, try to get Jell-O in there someplace.
I will. Oh. Your friends, they sit around the table and eat much more than they are able. Then your relatives, they come, and what's left over, they take hum.
Take hum?
Don't forget, Mary.
Oh, you do it, Don.
Okay. But your dinner's not complete without Jell-O, rich and sweet, and its flavor so delicious.
Are you stuck, Don?
No, I'll get it. And its flavor so delicious.
Eat it there or take it widget.
Hey, that's pretty good. Yes, sir. Mary, that was fine. I owe you an apology. Answer the phone, Mary.
Hello? Yes? Oh, hello, Aunt Ruby. Yes? I don't know. I'll ask him. Hey, Jack.
What?
Aunt Ruby asked me to invite you and your turkey over for Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, tell her I have another date.
Hello? Aunt Ruby? Jack can't come to dinner Thanksgiving. What? Yes, all right. Goodbye.
Now what?
She says just have the turkey come over.
Oh, yeah? Well, the turkey's going with me. Oh, Phil? Hey, Phil.
Phil isn't here yet, Jack.
He isn't?
Well, no. The boys had to play the first tune without him.
That's funny. He's never been late before. Oh, well, I know enough about music to direct the next number. Hand me that stick, will you, Don?
Yes, here you are.
All right, come on now, boys. Now, all together. One, two. Boys, look. I said one, two.
You got the stick upside down.
Oh. Now, look, boys, when I hold a stick up in the air like this, I want you to... Hey, wait a minute! Wait a minute! I know how to play. Two, Button Your Shoe from the motion picture Pennies from Heaven, played by Phil Harris's orchestra with Jack Benny directing and doing okay. Hey, you finished late.
Well, I started late.
Oh. You know, Don, I can't understand Phil doing a thing like this. He's always been here on time. I hope he's not out of town.
Why, he can't be. I saw him at the Clover Club about 9:30 last night with a blonde.
With a blonde, huh? Mm-hmm. See, that reminds me. I saw him last night about 11 o'clock at the Coconut Grove, and he was with a brunette.
He was?
Yeah.
I wonder what color hair he's with now.
Say, that Phil is quite a ladies' man. Not that I care, but I don't want it to interfere with this program, that's all.
Well, perhaps Mr. Blue, his arranger, knows where he is.
That's right. Hey, Ben, you don't happen to know where Phil is, do you?
Well, the last time I saw him was Friday night.
Uh-huh.
He was at the Trocadero, and he had a beautiful redhead with him. Mm-hmm. And she was sitting on his lap.
Well, I don't care about last night, you know.
Well, I do, Mr. Ben, because she was my redhead.
Well, see if you can find her. That guy Harris pays more attention to girls than he does to his job.
Why don't you fire him, Jack?
Oh, I wouldn't do that. He's a nice fellow and a likable character. Besides, he's got an iron-bound contract.
Hello, fellas.
Oh,
well,
Jerry.
Congratulate me. I just won a 20-pound turkey in a raffle.
Not so loud. Mary's aunt will invite it to dinner. Say, Kenny, did you see Phil anywhere?
Oh, I saw him Thursday night. He was at the Brown Derby with the prettiest girl. Gee, she was cute.
Oh, yeah? What color hair did she have?
Oh, he wouldn't know.
I do, too. It was sort of a plaid.
A little Scotch girl, huh? Well, wait till he comes in, that's all. When girls start to interfere with this program, something's got to be done about it.
You're not jealous of him, are you?
No, say, I do pretty good myself. Just want a little discipline on this program. People coming to work on time. It's not jealousy.
Then stop turning green.
So I'm not turning green.
Yeah, if you had three leaves, you'd be a shamrock.
Is that so?
Gee, that's clever.
How do you know? Stay out of this, Kenny.
Hey, Jack, here comes Phil now.
Well, that's nice of him. Maybe he dropped in for tea.
How are you, fellas?
Hi, Jack.
Well, it was sweet of you to stop in, Mr. Gable.
What's the big idea?
Oh, nothing. Only if I had known you were coming, we would have baked a blonde. I mean, a cake.
I still don't get you.
Now, listen, Phil. I'm a pretty regular fella, and I don't care anything about your private life, which seems to be quite public. But an artist must maintain a certain amount of dignity.
But I didn't do
it. Why, what would people think if they saw me out with a half a dozen different girls?
They'd think you were Phil Harris.
Go away. Now, Phil, when this program's on, you got to be here on time.
All right, Jack, I'm sorry.
Of course, in all fairness to you, it's not your fault as much as it is the girls. Give me their phone numbers. I'll tell them a thing or two.
Oh, no.
Well, just don't let it happen again, that's all. You ready for your song, Kenny?
Yes, Mr. Benny.
Well, go ahead. Play it, Phil, if you have nothing else to do. These girls, I can get more dates than he can, believe me.
I know my lips have never met your lips in sweet caress. Your hand has never touched my hand with thrilling tenderness. You never spoke of love to me, but still somehow I know, for love has made me wondrous wise. Your eyes have told me so. I saw your eyes, your wonderful eyes, with love, light, and tenderness.
Was Kenny Baker singing Your Eyes Have Told Me So, accompanied by Don Juan and his orchestra. Look at him there, the great lover, standing there with that green shirt, yellow tie, and that silly look on his face. See, I can wear a green shirt and a yellow tie, too.
You've got the silly look.
Oh, yeah? I bet he thinks I'm jealous. I can sit down on the phone right now and call 10 girls.
That's nothing. Phil can sit down on the phone and have 10 girls call him.
Oh, he can, huh?
Thanks, Mary. What are you doing tonight?
It's a date.
It was quick. And now, ladies and gentlemen, as you all know, last Sunday night, we started a Western sketch which was thoughtlessly interrupted by our tenor singer, Mr. Baker, when he roller skated down Hollywood Boulevard upsetting a pushcart in our play. So tonight, if I can get a little cooperation from the members of this company, we will proceed with our Western drama entitled Buck Benny Rides Again, or One Man on a Horse. Now, as you may remember...
There's the phone.
I'll take it. Hello? Yes? Who? Oh, hello, Miss Lombard. It's Carol Lombard, fellas. Yes? Yes, Miss Lombard? You want to speak to Phil Harris? Oh, sure, he's here. Oh, Miss Lombard, I want to tell you how much I enjoy your work on the screen. I thought your last picture was just... Oh, Phil Harris. Yes. It's for you, rat.
Hello. Oh, hello, Carol. How are you, honey? Well, I'm sorry, dear, but I had a previous engagement and I just couldn't get away.
Come on, Phil, you're holding up the program.
What's that, Carol? All right. How about tomorrow night, sugar? Yeah, honey.
Sugar, honey, what's he doing, ordering groceries?
Yes, Carol. Sure I will. All right, dear.
Hey, Phil, let me talk to her a minute, will you?
I'll be there at 8 o'clock sharp. Yes, honey.
Let me talk to her a second.
Oh, Carol, Jack Benny wants to talk to you. Here you are, Jack.
Hello, Carol. This is Jackie. I just wanted to, hello? 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 I guess we were disconnected. you know, these cheap Hollywood phones. Well, anyway, folks, our play, which we started last week, will go on immediately after the next number. Play, Carol. I mean, Phil. Mary, find out what's the matter with this phone, will you? I'm Sorry, Dear, played by Casanova Harris and his orchestra. And now for our Western drama, Buck Benny Rides Again. I will play the part of Sheriff Buck Benny, as tough an hombre as ever stepped into a pair of boots. A rootin', tootin', shootin', highfalutin', snootin', bootin'. Well, that gives you a rough idea. The opening scene is the office of the sheriff of Cactus County. Jeeves, my shaft. Curtain. Music.
Yum dum da dum da dum da dee. Yum dum dee dum da dee.
Morning, boys.
Morning, Sheriff.
Hiya, Buck.
Anything happened last night?
Well, Three Finger Joe broke into the First National Bank. Mm-hmm. Alkali Ike stuck up the Citizens Bank, and Cactus Pete robbed the Merchants Bank.
Oh, bank night, huh?
Sheriff, you're a card.
Smile when you say that. Go into the jailhouse and feed the prisoners.
I can't. They're all dining out this morning.
Well, I don't blame them. The food's awful here. Never should have pardoned our old cook.
You know, Buck, there's been too much shooting and killing going on around here lately. What's the population of this here town, anyhow?
305. 302. Pretty tough town. Man's got to commit suicide here to die a natural death. Better get those prisoners back here, deputy.
Well, if you'd have served them jello like I told you to, they wouldn't be eating out.
Yes, you're right.
Why, everybody knows that jello is the finest gelatin dessert in the world, and every day millions of
301. Well, he was a good man, but he talked too much. Gotta have strong, silent men in these here parts. Ain't that right, deputy?
I ain't saying.
Well, I don't blame you. Answer the phone.
Hello? Yes? It's for you, Sheriff. It's Daisy Carson.
Hello, Daisy. Anything wrong? What? They stole your pappy's cows. Tell your pappy I'll be right over. Goodbye. More trouble. Those cattle rustlers are at it again. They got Frank Carson's cows. Come on, deputy. We got to get going. Where's my gun?
In your hand.
Thought it was my pipe. I've been smoking it for an hour. Well, come on. Round up the boys and saddle the horses. We're heading for Carson's house.
Where is it?
Right across the street. Come on. Yeah! All set, boys?
Yay!
Okay, let's go. Whoa, whoa, here we are. Rest your horses, boys. Dead horse. Wait here, man. I'll be right out.
Come in.
Hello, Daisy.
Hello, tall, dark, and knock-kneed.
Can't help it. Just got off a thin horse. Where's your pappy?
He's down in the cyclone cellar reading Gone with the Wind.
Well, tell him I'm here.
Waiting.
I'll be right up.
Daisy, you sure look pretty tonight. What with your golden hair and teeth to match?
Jack Buck, the way you talk, it'd make a gal plumb blushy.
No, reckon I'm just poetic, that's all. What's that? Smells like brandy.
Here comes Pappy now.
Hello, Frank.
Hello, Buck.
What you giggling about?
Bet you thought I was going to say Frank Buck.
Wish you had. Would have been a powerful laugh. Say, Frank, Daisy phoned me that the rustlers got away with all your cows. Got any idea who took them?
Yes, I have. It was Rattlesnake Rollo.
Oh, yeah? Well, I've been a hankering to meet that hombre for some time. Got your cows branded?
No.
Well, how'll I know them?
I got a slave bracelet on each leg.
I know you, but how about the cows? Come in.
Oh, Sheriff.
What's up?
I just saw Rattlesnake Rollo heading towards Red River Canyon.
You did? Did he have any cattle with him?
Oh, yes. I tried to stop him, but he stuck a big gun in my ribs. And things like that sort of depressed me.
Red River Canyon, eh? Well, that's where that varmint is hiding those cattle. Come on with me, Carson, and we'll get your cows back. I'm heading for Red River Canyon. Buck Benny rides again.
Hooray!
Thank you. Come along, Carson. We ain't got a minute to lose. I'll answer that phone. Hello. Who? Ginger Rogers. You want to speak to Phil Harris? Now, look, Miss Rogers, we can't stop this. What? Well, we're right in the middle of our... Oh, all right. It's for you, Phil, and hurry up. Gee whiz.
Hello.
Right in the middle of it.
Oh, hello, Gingy. How are you, sweet? Oh, nothing, honey. Why?
Come on, Phil. We got to get those cows.
What? What's that, Gingy? Oh, no kidding. Oh.
Come on, Phil. Buck Benny rides again!
Wait a minute, Jack. Not so loud.
Hurry up. We got to go after those cows.
Listen, Ginger. I'll be through in a few minutes. Oh. Can I drop by and pick you up?
Oh, Phil.
I'll tell you what, dear. Meet me at 10 o'clock at the Palomar.
Come on. Buck Benny rides again!
Okay, honey.
Come on, Phil.
Yes? Yes, honey. Yes, I know. All right, dear. Well, I got a rush now. Yes, darling. Well, I can't help it. I'm in a hurry. I'm sorry, dear, but I have to rush.
Yeah, you can take your time, Phil. The cows came back. Buck Benny rides again. Playboy.
Here's one more thing you can be thankful for this year. Jell-O chocolate pudding, the new modern way to make grand old-fashioned chocolate pudding. It's easy, inexpensive, and just as delicious as any chocolate pudding you ever remember tasting. Jell-O chocolate pudding is smoother, creamier, more chocolatey, and it's crammed with plenty of swell homemade flavor. This is how you make it. Simply mix the contents of one package with some milk in the top of your double boiler. When the mixture becomes thick and luscious, take it off the fire, and then, after it's cooled, serve it in sherbet glasses. That's all you have to do to get a rich, delicious sherbet and dessert that will go down in your family's history as one of the best. Jell-O chocolate pudding sells for the same low price as Jell-O, and with one package, you can make enough for six servings. So don't hold out on your family. Get some Jell-O chocolate pudding from your grocer in the morning. If he hasn't put it in stock yet, be sure he orders it for you.
Last number of the eighth program in the new Jell-O series, and we'll be with you again next Sunday night at the same time. I hope you've all enjoyed as far as I could get with our Western sketch. Hey, Mary, wait for me. I'll call a taxi and take you home.
Buck Benny rides again.
Yuckum! Good night, folks.
J-E-L-L.
The tune Who is from Jerome Kern's Sonny. This program has come to you from the NBC studios in Hollywood. This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.
KFI Los Angeles, Earl C. Anthony Incorporated.